glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's August 14th, 2013. Jason, my cup overfloweth. Hey, what's the biblical, do you even know the reference, just throwing that out, you know, about how our cup overflows, probably somewhere in Proverbs or Psalms?
I'm not sure about the Proverbs reference, but the one that jumps out of my mind would be the Philippians reference where Paul says, even though I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the service and sacrifice of our Lord. So Paul really saying, look, at my cup's being poured out. I'm being poured out. And so the first thing you would see in that passage would be, well, then Paul must be empty. But we look at the ministry of Paul, and especially we read that letter of Philippians, which just overflows with joy, that his cup is never poured out. So as Paul always does, he's almost using words in kind of a backwards way. We have to look at the converse of that and say, Paul's cup is overflowing because of Christ. Even though he's being poured out as a drink offering for the sacrifice and service of Jesus, Jesus fills up his cup, so his cup is never truly empty. In fact, I think his cup is being poured into so much so that it overflows into the cups of many people. He's splashing Jesus everywhere he goes.
Well, that would be my prayer, because God has been pouring into my cup through people, through circumstances, through various situations, even through... not even through, but if you were tuned in for the Monday or Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, there's been a spike in the stock of Kleenex. It was a tearjerker both days. If you missed or you were out of town or you didn't get a chance to hear Monday or Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, I had Senior Saint, the very young 92-and-a-half Dolly Redden from Danville. Her testimony, I'm telling you, was a tearjerker. What an encouragement. She's another model of one of those saints that is finishing well. And she has a lot of life left in her. She's traveling around sharing about her book. And what a delight to have her in the studio along with her daughter, Georgianne, from the Bloomington Normal area. So that was a total bucket filler. The cup overfloweth. And then this Israel celebration that we're going to be hosting in about 10 days, Jason, I know you're going to be speaking and sharing, and everything has fallen into place. Thank you, God, for all the participants. The band Northwind has been rehearsing. Susie Ron has been excited to get that group over here, and they're going to perform probably starting at about 4:30. So that's going to be a great part of the Israel celebration. And then Debbie Phillips, who's been on many trips to Israel in the past with us, she's going to share some special music. She has what I consider like the epitome of a worship leader that can literally take the message that has been delivered or shared by somebody, make a transitional statement or two, point to God, and then relay it into a song. And so she'll help our time of worship during the Israel celebration. Jason Hodges, the general manager of the Olive Garden. There's something about that name, Jason. There's always good things attached with that. But he's going to help grill all the burgers and hot dogs at the Israel celebration. So it's like I can check that off knowing that he's going to be in charge of all the food that comes in, the volunteers that are going to help. And then he's bringing his grills and coolers and everything. And so he's taking on that whole aspect of the Israel celebration, providing the food and overseeing that. Jeff Joslin, who has a ministry called The Bridge out of Mahomet, and his ministry is equipping churches or Christian organizations with his sound system to help facilitate a time of worship and evangelistic outreach. He's a part of a band. I think it's called Blind Pearl, Pearl Blind. I'm going to have him on in the coming days, but he's going to do all the sound and bring his equipment and staging. Mm. So we have that set. Harriet's Party Rentals. Just so happens the chairman of our radio board is Dave Harriet, and so he's helping with the tent and the tables and I think 170 chairs, 20 round tables, and 10 other tables for food and preparation for the Israel celebration. So we'll have the big kind of circus tent set up in the yard. A lot of volunteers are agreeing to help. On Monday, I met with Rabbi Cook. He's the new rabbi at Sinai Temple. I invited him to participate and come out to our event. It was great getting to know him. He's been reaching out to the evangelical community, so he's trying to build bridges with Sinai Temple and area churches and area Christians. Last night was the racquetball shootout. I could go on a whole program about racquetball. I've met about 15 new friends. A lot of the fitness center guys are now playing over at ARC because the fitness center no longer has racquetball. And so we had a great shootout from 5 to 7 and then pizza afterwards. So it was great. All my new buddies on the racquetball court. Hopefully maybe some of them are tuned in. Welcome, guys, to the Ministry of Great News Radio. Some upcoming testimonies we're going to have. Harold Green, I think, next week. Maybe a couple days with him and Elmer Zules and Rick Champ and others. So we got a great lineup of special guests and features. And thank you, God, for how you can pour into our lives through people, through circumstances, through answered prayer, through the reading of His Word, which is a daily reminder of unique ways He wants to work through us, equipping us to understand truths or concepts or bringing healthy conviction that causes us to say, Lord, without your help, without your assistance, without your power, I can do no things, but with you, today will be a divine appointment.
Do we really say that, though?
I do.
Don't when you get that healthy conviction, you go, oh!
Well, I don't know. Sometimes it's like when I get sick once in a while.
Yeah.
It reminds me all those weeks of being healthy and being grateful. So sometimes when I get sick, I'm kind of grateful for it. And so, I don't know, a good healthy conviction where it's really God, because it's that maybe that unique balance, because you experience His love at the same time of recognizing you're a wretch. And so, I don't know, maybe I have it down really well, but I like conviction, because even though it may be brutal because it exposes sin or, oh, shoot, I lapsed back into gossip or saying something I wish I wouldn't have said, but yet somehow at the same time, He's like, but I care for you, and I'm going to work through it, and we're going to bring around a healthy resolution or resolve to bring healing or change or whatever. And so, I don't know, maybe for a while I'm in agony, but it's usually pretty quick because I just experience His love again.
Yeah, I just think it's important that we let people know, especially those people who maybe are just trying to figure out who Jesus is that conviction is hard. I agree with you 100%. Conviction is such a gift because it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, the Holy Spirit trying to right the ship because we have somehow gone off the path. And thank you, Jesus, that we have somebody who cares so much about us that consistently wants to. I think of the picture of the parent and the baby's taking the first tentative steps and the parent has their hands on either side just trying to be able to steady or catch that baby. And God does that for our entire lives. And I know that some of us are hard-hearted and, you know, a little nutty, and that's a lot of work that God has to do. Thank God He's omniscient and omnipotent and all-knowing, all-seeing. But I think that we need to see conviction as a gift. But then I think also in the very human part of it, we need to understand or at least say, you know what, it's okay in those moments to go, to kind of let out that exhale that and be a little bit exasperated by it because conviction is tough. Mm-hmm. Conviction is hard. And that's the human side of it. But, you know, that's the our feet touching the ground end of it. And the other part where our heart and our mind are fixed towards heaven is, thank you, Jesus, that you'll convict me of my sin or you'll convict me of the ways that I'm going off the path because you love me so much. And again, then Jesus says, well, will you multiply that into your own life, into the people in your sphere? You know, will you bring conviction or bring words of encouragement to those around you and help to keep them on the path, you know, as we're all following Jesus together?
Yeah, yeah. And so if you're not experiencing some conviction maybe today, you've probably not been in God's Word or praying up maybe your situation or your circumstance, or you're not being attentive to the Spirit's leading, because good God-sent conviction is a healing balm. Yeah, it might hurt initially or it might sting a little, but there's a great reward when you kind of heed maybe a new path that He wants to lead you on or a new practice He wants you to engage in, or maybe you need to call someone up and ask for forgiveness or right or wrong that you have done. But God's always at work desiring to refine us, to change us, to work through us. Oh, what an adventure we're all on. And so, wait, back to the Israel celebration. I didn't give any details, but if you've not RSVP'd yet, you must, because I'm ordering a lot of hamburgers and hot dogs and fix-ins. And, you know, thank you again that Jason Hodges, he's kind of overseeing it, going to pick up the burgers. We're getting a great deal from Gibson City Meat and Deli. Randy and Bonnie Ahrens, they own that establishment in Gibson City, and they're giving me a great price on the burgers. And they're going to have it all set. Jason's going to pick it up, but he's going to be chopping up tomatoes and onions and other fixins, and it's like, oh, I'm just so thankful for that. But it's all happening on Saturday, August 24th. There's going to be live music, teaching, obviously the food, giveaways. It's an event you don't want to miss. Special guest is Omer Eshel. In fact, we're going to have him on the air, I think, next week or in the next couple weeks, probably the Wednesday before the event. So I guess maybe on the 21st. He's a great individual. He's a certified Israeli guide, and he's going to come down from Chicago and share about Israel and his love for the land. You're going to be presenting, Jason, and like I said, special music. I'll have a few words to say. So this is open to anyone that's interested in knowing more about Israel and being blessed or just wanting to have some fun. It's going to be out at the Burns Homestead on the west end of Mahomet, and you can walk the Nature Trail. I've talked a lot about that over the air. You can climb up into the tree fort. You can even, if you come early, get on one of my kayaks or canoes and float in the mighty Sangamon River. So lots of things to do on Saturday, August 24th, but you must RSVP because we'll be sending out an email update, like maybe where to park in case there's a lot of cars all along the side road. Or I have a friend that has a golf cart who might, like, if we park people at the Forest Preserve just up the road about a couple blocks. So anyways, you must RSVP, and our phone number at the radio ministry is 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. And you can stop by greatnewsradio.org. I posted a flyer that Jason, thank you for creating that, and I've sent that out in hundreds of emails. So it's been great catching up with friends from years past and new friends that have written in or contacted me. I've invited racquetball buddies, friends from the Jewish community. Have posters at Sinai Temple. Some other area churches put up little posters or flyers about this event. And I'm just wanting to bring and unite people together. I've invited all my neighbors. And so I hope it's kind of somewhat of an evangelistic outreach. And yet it'll encourage everyone that attends. And then the ministry of music is going to be fun. The food will be fantastic and tasty. I always know I can count on you if you have a platform or a period to share. There's going to be some good, healthy teaching.
Wherever there's a place for you to talk,
yeah,
your lips will move.
So we're all excited about the celebration on August 24th. And those of you that are out of town or can't make it, please be praying up that God will do a unique work. I'm all about having fun. It's got to include an element of fun. Yet I want God to be honored, and I think, Jason, with a message that you'll deliver. I know Omer loves God, and he loves his land of Israel, so I think he'll have a good message to share along with the time of questions and answers. Say you've always wanted to ask a Jewish person certain things about their religious beliefs, or why do they wear a yarmulke, or different things about their bar mitzvahs or other things. So anyways, that'll all be happening on Saturday, August 24th. So last week, last Wednesday, you said that God had put on your heart to always be armed or prepared or ready to share something. So what do you have for me today?
What do I have for you today? Well, you kind of almost alluded to it just a little bit, this idea of conviction and this idea of healthy conviction. And unhealthy conviction is conviction that comes from people around you who don't have a place in your life or don't have a position in your life where they're allowed to speak into your life. That's unhealthy conviction. But healthy conviction is always that conviction that comes from the Lord, that comes through the Holy Spirit, that convicts us of the ways that we have gone away from God's Word and God's Spirit and God's people. And isn't it fascinating that whenever we get ourselves in sin or we get ourselves in a position where we move away from God, that what do we always do? Number one, and I see this all the time, and I do so much counseling, and every single time you can almost, people sit down, they start to tell you their story, and you know what they're going to say next because you know the effects of sin.
Yeah.
You know what sin does. And first of all, what people want to do is they want to disconnect themselves. So what do? They disconnect themselves from God's people because they don't feel worthy. Once we get into sin, they don't feel worthy of being amongst God's people because God's people are a reminder of God and Jesus, and it's a reminder. It aids in the conviction. That's why so many people go to a church service and they go, I felt so convicted during that service. Because when you gather with God's people, your attempts at maintaining perfect righteousness within yourself are dispelled and destroyed amongst the perfect righteousness of Christ that we're glorifying during a church service. The other part of that, too, is then we want to distance ourselves from God's word, because God's word is like spending intimate moments with God. Mm-hmm. You know, people who are in sin, they wanted to pray less. They want to read their Bible less. They want to do anything that brings them closer to God less, because, you know, it's like that moment in the garden where God comes down and he knows that Adam and Eve have sinned. And he doesn't go, you know, where are you, you sinful wretches? You know, instead he goes, hey, where are you? I mean, it's so gentle in Genesis chapter 3. It's so gentle. And some people said, well, was God trying to figure out where they were at? No, God's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He knows where they were at. You know what he was trying to do? Is it was a moment where he was asking them to repent. He was saying, where are you? God knew physically where they were. God also knew where their hearts were. And God was trying to call their hearts back home. Where are you? Come back to me. Come back to me. And then, of course, God's Spirit. Because if we're not in God's Word and we're not amongst God's people, we're going to have an awful hard time hearing God's Spirit. And so we need to understand that when we get in sin, the first thing that happens is we separate ourselves from all those things. You know, it's so funny. We had some friends over who have been going through a real tough season of life. I said this, you know, they were just telling us about some things that are going on in their life, and I just looked them in the eye and I said, I bet you guys don't pray together. And they go, no, we haven't prayed together since this whole thing started. And you know why? Because that prayer is such an intimate moment with God, and then you're sharing it with your spouse. You know what I mean? Those of us who go like, well, intimacy is what happens in the bedroom. No, intimacy, true intimacy, is what happens between you and your spouse and God. You and your spouse and the Spirit, you and your spouse and Jesus, that's true intimacy, because that's where we're not physically laid bare, but we're spiritually laid bare. We open up our hearts and we say, look into my heart. We're asking our spouse to do that too, because I know during prayer, Tasha and I will share things that I don't know that we'll share in a lot of other places, because there's prayer brings a transparency. When you get into prayer, true intimate prayer, the curtain is truly torn, and you can see behind that veil. And look, at no matter who we are and how spiritual and how holy we try and all act, we all try to wear a veil. And so we need to understand what conviction is, because conviction is so important, because conviction is a gift from God that's been given to us so that we can get ourselves back on track, so that we can understand. Look, people fail. I said this in my sermon on Sunday morning. Leaders fail. The myth that leaders don't fail is a myth. Leaders, even the greatest of leaders, fail. But you know what? It's not that we fail or not that we have faults, but it's how we pick ourselves back up. A lot of us look at David in the Bible and we say, David, a man after God's own heart. I mean, sometimes for me, I read that and then I flip over a couple more pages and I see the effects of some of the things David did and I go, that's a man after your own heart that I'm doing really well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but the thing we need to understand is it wasn't that David failed and it wasn't that David had faults. It was that David, when he failed and when his faults came through, he lifted himself up and picked himself up in a biblical fashion. David always sought God's heart, and in doing so, he moved people along with him towards God. You know, I've got to think that the people who are following David, and the things that the Bible doesn't tell us, is how David shared his experiences with those people around him. We know by the way that David was that I think that he did do that. So he probably shared that with even maybe his inner circle. You know, boys, there was this moment with this Bathsheba. And I had to turn back towards the Lord and repent of my sins. And I had to do, you know, those are the moments that the Bible doesn't capture. But the Bible captures David in such a great light that we know that he had to continually turn himself back towards God. So conviction is important and conviction is good. You know, I was reading the book of Job in the last week. And so funny, somebody said, what are you reading lately? I said, the book of Job. They go, oh, I hate the book of Job. It's so depressing. And I go, you know what? The book of Job is a gift. Because every single one of us will find ourselves at some season in our life, or many seasons in our life, within the pages of the book of Job. And you know, in Job chapter 23, it says, in verse 3, it says, if I only knew where to find him. He's talking about God. In fact, right before this, his friend says in verse 21, submit to God and be at peace with him, and prosperity will come your way. He's trying to tell him, look, if you just do X, Y, and Z, God has to do these other things. You put a quarter in the machine, and God has to do his part, because he's a big divine vending machine. And Job comes back and he wrongs that. He goes, look, if I knew where to find him, but I don't. He says, but if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I don't find him. If he's at work in the north, I don't see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way I take when he has tested me. and I will come forth as gold. Look, it doesn't matter where I think he should be. He knows where I am. You know, it's got to begin with God. God knows where I am. And then I have to trust that when God knows where I am, that what I'm going through, I'm not ever going through alone. Jesus didn't go to the cross so that you would go it alone. Jesus went to the cross so you would go it with his Spirit. He says that in the latter chapters of John. That's his promise to his disciples. You won't be alone. You won't be forsaken. I'm going to send you somebody else, a counselor, who will remind you. And he says, my feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Now, let's just be honest. Do we treasure God's word more than we treasure what we're going to eat that day? Do we get as excited about God's word as we get excited about having one of those big Papa Del's pizzas? I mean, do we get as excited about that? And I just want to close with this last bit in verse 20 or chapter 23. It says, God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. By the way, that's not terror like a horror movie. That's like you looked at God and you go, he is huge. And it says, yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face. What it's saying here is I have a healthy fear of the Lord. I know who the Lord is. When he comes to convict me, I don't hate it. I love it. It's a gift to me. I fear the Lord because I fear being distanced from the greatest relationship that I could ever possibly have. And by the way, I'm not silenced by the darkness. Even if it's a thick darkness that comes over my eyes, I will not be silent. I will not be quiet. I will not stop preaching Christ and him crucified because I can not. You know, the Lord's words are more important to me than my daily bread. And by the way, I have the Lord's words because it's a gift to me, and I have my daily bread because it's a gift to me from the Lord.
Another thing I was thinking when you said, you know, when we sin, we remove ourselves from the Christian community, or we don't pray, or we don't read God's word. And yet I also wonder how we as the body of Christ, oftentimes we don't know how to deal with that person, or they're reluctant because maybe they're divorced, maybe they've botched up, maybe they're in sin. And we don't know how to share the truth in love, or we don't know how to welcome them back. We don't know the steps to take. So maybe in our closing minute or two, what would be the advice for those of us that are following Christ? How do we nurture those people back or have a welcoming hand?
We have to address sin. You know, sin is on there on the list of the top five things we don't talk about in church. Yet sin is mentioned more in the Bible than almost anything else in terms of the journey of God's people and God. You know, I was helping out a church a number of years ago, and I went to the church, and I was talking to the district superintendent of the group of churches. And he said, Jason, do you know what you need to do? You need to just preach in this season of this church joy. And I said, you know what? His name was Frank. I said, you know what, Frank? You know what I need to do? I need to address the sin that has happened in this building, because if I don't address the sin that has happened in this building, then I've said it's okay and it's all right and it's allowed to be in this community. Yeah. I said, I will preach joy, but I'll preach joy through repentance as we battle sin together.
Yeah. Together we do better. That's why God has instituted community.
That's a sermon series. And together we do better.
And God had community in the triune Godship, the Godhead.
Yeah.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.